with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 14. And as you turn there, let me remind you of what we're studying and what we've seen so far. All right, I'm just doing a brief series on biblical counseling. We are certainly not going to cover everything that could be covered in a series on biblical counseling. I'm just laying the foundation. I'm actually doing a conference in September on foundations for biblical counseling. So we are going to go through it in a little bit more detail here than what I'll have time for in the conference. But I wanted to share this with you as well. We began with the Great Commission. Why? Well, because the Great Commission is the foundation for all biblical ministry. The Great Commission is the foundation for all of biblical counseling. In the Great Commission, you recall, Jesus said, teaching them, that is teaching believers, to observe or keep all that Jesus Christ has commanded us. Well, what is biblical counseling? It's really nothing more, nothing less than that. We are helping one another, helping believers to obey what Christ has commanded us. So that is the most foundational thing to know, is that the Great Commission is the foundation for all biblical counseling. But then, last week, we began looking at 11 scriptures which use a Greek word called nuthateo. It is from that Greek word that the entire modern biblical counseling movement started. Late 60s, early 70s, a man named Jay Adams wrote a book called Competent to Counsel. Today we're going to look at the verse from which his book was written. He wrote a book called Competent to Counsel to make this case, and that is that Christians are competent to counsel one another, and pastors and elders and church leaders are competent to counsel the people in their churches. I guess there was, and maybe still is in some places, a practice whereby if you went to church leaders for some kind of a really difficult counseling issue, like my child is acting up in school, like we can't get along in our marriage, pastors would say, well, you need to see a licensed therapist. You need to go see a psychologist. You need to go see a psychiatrist. You need to be put on medications. Jay Adams wrote a book to make the biblical case to say that is the wrong road to go. And he's right. Pastors, elders, teachers are competent to counsel their people. Many people, sadly, have been advised to go off to the counsel of the ungodly. Does that ring a bell with you? Where is that found in the Bible, the counsel of the ungodly? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk according to the counsel of the ungodly. And so, for many years, and I think it still happens quite often today, spiritual leaders were sending people off to receive the counsel of the ungodly, and people were following it and paying the price. We're looking at what God's Word says about biblical counseling, about the ability of Christians to counsel one another, and we're answering this question, what kind of a ministry is this? What kind of a ministry is biblical counseling? Now, I'm answering that question because I'm going to answer lots of other questions along the way, but I wanted to encapsulate everything we're studying under one question. So that's how I'm doing it, right? And what have we learned so far? Last week, we looked at Acts 20:31, where Paul was meeting with the elders at the church of Ephesus. He used this word, nuthateo. And from that verse, he said this. He said, therefore remember, or watch and remember, that for 3 years I did not cease to, we could say, counsel everyone night and day with tears. And from that verse, we learned four things. One, biblical counseling is an influence ministry. This is an influence ministry. The word nuthateo means to lay things out before someone else that they might be influenced. The great Greek scholar A.T. Robertson says it could be translated, put some sense into. Right? When we're doing biblical counseling, we're trying to put some sense into someone. They may be following a path that is not wise. They might be rejecting counsel. They may be going away in a way that's not biblical. And so this is an influence ministry whereby we use the Bible through prayer and the Word of God. We are seeking to influence brothers and sisters in Christ to go in God's way, to choose the way of wisdom. It is an influence ministry. Second, it is an important ministry. Paul says that he did this for 3 years, night and day, unceasingly. This is an important ministry. It's something that requires time, effort, and energy. The third thing we learned last time is that biblical counseling is a sacrificial ministry. You know, when Paul says night and day, he means there are times when I'm having to counsel people at night, and that could be any time at night, right? Even in the early morning. And I'm counseling people in the daytime because there are needs 24 hours a day. That doesn't mean that he was never sleeping. Doesn't mean that he never took time off or never rested. It simply means this is an important ministry. It's a sacrificial ministry. Fourth thing we learned last week is that it is a, what kind of ministry? Emotional ministry. Paul says that he did this with tears. That's not the only place he talks about that. There's a lot of emotion involved. Sometimes we're counseling in the area of marriage. Sometimes we're counseling in the area of raising children. Sometimes we're counseling when there's conflict between two people in the church. It's emotional, right? It's difficult. There are all kinds of issues that come up as a result of sin and foolishness. And when you do biblical counseling, you get involved in all of that stuff. It's messy. It's emotional. All right, fifth, Romans 15:14. Take a look. If you're there, say amen. Oh, good. Although that wasn't everybody. So if you're not there, get there. Romans 15:14. Paul says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to nutheteo, counsel or admonish or warn or instruct." These are all various translations of the word. What kind of ministry is this? It is a one another ministry. A one another ministry. This is not a ministry just for pastors or elders or teachers or deacons. Interestingly, Paul says this to them when he had not yet been to Rome. He did not know these people. And yet he says, "You are able to counsel." It was from this verse that J. Adams wrote his groundbreaking transformational book called Competent to Counsel. And he took it right from here. You're competent to counsel. Now, context. Romans is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Chapters 1 to 11 are gospel doctrines. And chapters 12 to 16 are gospel duties. And this is in the category of gospel duties. Remember how Paul transitions from gospel doctrines to duties by saying, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by all these mercies of God," in chapters 1 to 11, right? "By the mercy of God to justify ungodly sinners who believe in Jesus Christ. I urge you, brethren, by all these mercies, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." That's biblical counseling, right? You're saying, "Lord, here I am. Use me to help these two get along. Use me to give counsel to my brother or sister in Christ. Use me. I'm a sacrifice." And you might have to sacrifice time during the day or night to give counsel. Here, one of the gospel duties for Christians is to admonish or counsel one another. Now notice what he says, verse 14. "Now I myself," he says, "am confident." A more accurate translation would be, "I have become persuaded." Passive. Something's happened. Paul had never been to Rome, but he'd heard lots of reports about the believers there and their faith, which he talked about earlier in the letter. And he's saying, "I have gotten to the point where I am now persuaded concerning you, based on everything I've heard about you, my brethren, that you also are..." Now here would be a fitting qualification for biblical counseling. You are what? Full of goodness. Full of good stuff. What does that mean, full of goodness? And this is rightly touted by some as a qualification for biblical counseling. You must be full of goodness. What does that mean you're full of? You have a good attitude. You have a good heart. You have good intentions. You have good motives. That's what this means. You're full of all this good stuff. You say, "Well, how could he know that they're full of that, and how can I know if I'm full of that?" Well, this same word goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? Goodness. This is fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, then the Spirit of Christ produces this in you. He's not saying you only ever do good. He's simply saying, I know that you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are full of the good stuff that the Spirit of Jesus Christ produces in those who are His. Do you have the Spirit of Christ in you? Is He dwelling in you richly? Right? Are you filled with the Spirit? If so, you're competent to counsel. This is a one another ministry. This is a ministry that the Spirit of Christ is dwelling within you to fulfill in the lives of other people. What's the other qualification? He says, now I myself have become persuaded concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Now that's a little tougher. Filled with all knowledge, like they know everything about everything? No. What knowledge do you think that he thought they were filled with? And how were they filled with that? Knowledge of the Christ. Knowledge of Christ and the gospel. Now, how could he think they're filled with the gospel? He just gave them Romans. He just sent them Romans, right? Now, he probably heard reports from others that, oh, those people up there at Rome, they've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's great. They not only have heard it, they're spreading it to other people. Oh, Paul, you're going to be so happy to go to Rome. Those believers are strong. They know the gospel. They're studying it. They're sharing it with others. And Paul's saying to them, to encourage them, I have become persuaded concerning you that you are full of all goodness, fruit of the Spirit, and filled with all knowledge, a fruit of studying the gospel. That's the qualifications for being competent to counsel. Have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you believed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know the gospel of Jesus Christ? Could you tell it to someone else? Could you point someone back to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then you are able to admonish others. The last part of this verse, he says, that you are able, competent, you have the power, right? You have the ability to nuthateo, to lay things out before someone else so as to influence them to follow Jesus Christ. Do you have that ability? Listen, I want to encourage you. You probably do this already more often than you think. One thing I really don't like about the name biblical counseling is that it really doesn't come from the scriptures. It comes from the world. Okay? And people think counseling, they think counselor, and I'm the counselee, and there's going to be a counseling session, and there's probably going to be a counseling fee, and there's going to be a counseling duration, and there's going to be so many counseling sessions until I've been thoroughly counseled. And I'm like, eh. Counseling is very often something so simple that really you just take someone aside and you say, hey, so what happened this week? Well, what happened is he said this. And you go, oh, why do you think he said that? Well, I don't know. Well, you know what? We need to find out. And we find out that he said that because he thought you said this. And, oh, that's not what I said. And you go, oh, you know what? Hey. Let's not let this thing go any further. I think you need to ask forgiveness. I think you should apologize. I think you should. How many of you parents ever told your kids, I want you to kiss and make up? Did you grow up with that? It was terrible. My parents made us do that. I want you two to kiss and make up. And then, you know, if you, how many, honestly, you grew up with that? A couple of you did, right? And then it was, you kiss and make up or else. And I'm, okay. And you know what? We got through it. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way we should counsel in the church. But maybe it's something as simple as, hey, listen, I think you need to apologize. I think you need to ask forgiveness. I think you need to forgive that person. I think you two need to get along. Beloved, listen, you're able to do this. You're full of all goodness. You have the fruit of the Spirit. You have knowledge. Now, it gets more complex than that. Right? It does get more complex than that. But biblical counseling is a one another ministry. Let's move on to the next one. Keep going. Next conclusion. It can be a writing ministry. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 4:14. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. it can be a writing or written ministry. And I got to pull out my cards as part of this. Lost track of two cards that Miss Betty sent me, and I found them. I'm so happy. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:14. Context here, Paul writing to the church, and he says to them, now there were lots of problems in the church at Corinth, but he says, verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you. Now this is a reference to his letter. And in specific, it's a reference to the things that he's written in chapters 3 and 4, where he's kind of rebuking them for picking favorites. Right? You remember the whole problem there? There's divisions. Well, I'm of Pastor Rick. I follow him. I'm of Pastor Dan. I like him and I follow him. I'm of Pastor Drew and I like him and I follow him. I'm of Pastor John. Oh, well, I'm of Jesus. Right? They're like picking favorites, maybe favorite preacher, favorite teacher, and they're becoming divided over this. Who's the better preacher? Who's the better teacher? And Paul is writing them, and it sounds like he's trying to put them to shame. It's almost like maybe he is a little bit, but he's kind of saying, that's not the ultimate goal here. I'm not writing these things in order to shame you, 4:14, but as my beloved children, I am, now what does your Bible say? Shout it out. Admonishing, warning, right? There's different translations. I'm trying to counsel you. I'm nutheteoing you. I'm trying to lay these things out before you, put some sense into you, help you to see that this is not the right way. You need to get along. All of us, by the way, and this is true of us in here, a lot of us, how many of us, brothers, how many of you have filled the pulpit, you've preached? Okay, Bruce got his hand up, Pastor Rick, Pastor Dan. All right. A lot of us, right? The worst thing that could happen is all of you go, well, I like it when Steve Browning preaches, and we don't get him up there enough. Or how come Tony's never up there? His time's limited. Or how come? Or, well, I really like when Doc preaches. It's so clear. It's always about God's sovereignty. He's my favorite. The worst thing that could happen is you pick favorites, and then you divide over who's your favorite. Praise God, that's not happening, and it's not going to happen. But it was happening here, and Paul's saying, look, I'm trying to put some sense into you, so that there would be unity and peace, and all of us are simply ministers of Christ. All of us are simply seeking to preach the Word of God so that you would understand it and follow it. And here we learn that even a written letter is part of biblical counseling. It's a written, or it can be, a written ministry. How many of you who have had some experience in biblical counseling, whether you have given advice or you've gotten advice, have done that through writing? Come on, hands up. Come on, don't be bashful. Okay, sure. I have to. I have sought biblical counsel through writing, and I have counseled others through writing. It can be a written ministry. Emails, texts. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Why not? Well, because take a look at the verse here that says this. What are you doing? Counseling via text. Now, is that the best way? Is that the only way? Sometimes that's... I have counseled brothers in Russia via text recently, using Viber. Okay, if you didn't know, that's another, like, WhatsApp. I have all of those. Like, I have the WhatsApp, I have the Viber, I have Skype, I have Facebook. Oh, the list goes on. Because it opens up doors for counseling. And it can be a written ministry, something as simple as, well, listen, I'm praying for you. I would really encourage you to look at these verses. It can be a card ministry. Now, I have some fine examples here. I really miss Miss Betty, and I know some of you really miss Miss Betty, too. Got my pastor's heart this week? Read my pastor's heart this week? Those are really good lessons, and as a short list, she wrote me a card a while back. I'm reading it. I am reprimanding you, Pastor John. That's the literal translation. I am reprimanding you, Pastor John. Now, I hesitate to keep reading because then you're going to go, oh, I see why you read us that one. But I'm going to read it to you anyways because I don't care what you think. Ha! She was reprimanding me. Betty and I would meet on a regular basis, and she would often ask me, she would say, now, did you take Friday off? Because Friday is a day off. And in September to May, I often don't take it. No, you know, and I willingly don't take it. No, I really wanted to work more on my sermon. Or no, I wanted to go to Doc's study. And then after one of those times where we had tea, and I said, no, I hadn't, she felt like she'd heard enough. I am reprimanding you, Pastor John. you are not taking enough time out to enjoy hopping on your motorcycle. Your bike, she wrote, but I know she meant my bike. Now, see why I didn't want to read that? Because then you're going to go, oh, you're just justifying. No, she was counseling. She was saying you need to take time off. That's biblical counseling. Here's another one. I like this one called a pocket reminder. If I had a pocket. Honey, why do we buy shirts without pockets? Dear Pastor John, and she just, you know, Betty was straight to the point. There's not much space on here. Never pass up the opportunity to nurture and be a good example to your boys. This one followed. I said, you know, one of my sons is coming to town. I've got a lot going on. I'm not sure if I'm going to have time to run up and meet him. And she was reprimanding me. Never miss the opportunity to spend time with your kids. That's good counsel, right? Counseling can be something as simple as writing cards. It could be expressing, you don't have to quote chapter and verse, but you're giving a warning or instruction or an admonishment or advice. You're trying to guide someone where they're struggling. And you are competent to do that. It's a one another ministry. It can be a written ministry. Next. So we've learned so far, right? Number one, it's an influence ministry. It's an important ministry. It's a sacrificial ministry. It's an emotional ministry. Not always, but it can be an emotional ministry. It's number five, a one another ministry. Number six, a written or writing ministry. Number seven, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10:11, see if you can get it. The next conclusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 10:11. Familiar context here probably, because this is where Paul recites what all had happened in the wilderness and how God was not pleased with the people who were crossing the wilderness with Moses. And God expressed his displeasure by judging them and in some cases killing them. And verse 11 says this, kind of sums up, why did God tell us all about that in the Old Testament? Take a look. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction, admonition, counsel. Nuthesia comes out of nutheteo. They're written to us for counseling. This is to counsel us. It's to guide us. It's to instruct us how not to live. Now, in the context here, remember, God was not pleased with the people who were crossing the wilderness. Proof of that, all the dead bodies strewn across the wilderness. Verse 5 says that. With most of them, God was not well pleased because their bodies, their corpses, were scattered in the wilderness. That's a warning to us, Paul says. These things became our examples, verse 6, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things like they lusted. Sometimes biblical counseling is to say, you've got to stay away from pornography. You've got to stay away from anything that is tempting you to immorality. And I've done biblical counseling when there is immorality and adultery and pornography involved. And I take them to 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 7. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And sometimes biblical counseling is to counsel people against going after other gods, against going into some worship temple and taking part in false worship. Verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. That means God killed 23,000 in a day because of sexual immorality. And quite often, biblical counseling is to counsel people against immorality. What is the one word, four letters, the one command all Christians are given when it comes to sexual immorality? Who knows it? Flee. Here's my paraphrase. Run hard and fast in the opposite direction as though from a giant monster. Flee. Right? If you ever watched monster films growing up, you know, the big monster comes into town, you know, the Godzilla comes into town, whatever, and everybody is looking and running. That's what you should do with regard to anything that has anything to do with sexual immorality. Seeing some woman who is not your wife. Getting on the internet and clicking where you know you shouldn't click. Right? Placing phone calls to where you know you shouldn't place phone calls. Flirting with disaster. Even, young people, spending time alone one-on-one with somebody you're interested in. We told our boys, the rule is this, you do not spend time alone with her. flee. Run hard and fast in the opposite direction away from immorality. And sometimes that's biblical counseling that we need to give. Verse 9, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. You know what can happen? It can happen that you are really putting Christ to the test by disregarding counsel, by disregarding advice, by disregarding the Word of God. And now you're like, well, I'm going to do it anyways, because I know God is merciful. And I know He loves me. And I know He would... This says, I wouldn't put Him to the test if I... And notice, nor let us tempt whom? Christ. In the Old Testament, they were putting Christ to the test by thinking that He wasn't going to deal with them if they went the wrong way and did the wrong things. Verse 10, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. You know what some counsel has to do with? You're just telling, hey, look, I wouldn't complain about that. I mean, I get it. You don't like blank. And I understand there are reasons to not like blank. Sometimes we don't like something that's happening in church. Or sometimes we don't like the way somebody is. We don't like something's not happening the way we would prefer. And sometimes the counsel is, well, you know, let's pray about that. Maybe there's something we can do. There might not be. But let's not complain about it, because that's not going to help. Right? I mean, that's biblical counseling. You're competent to do that. That's a one another ministry. It can be a written ministry. If you read through, for 12 years now, I think, I've been writing pastors' hearts. About once a month. If I miss a month or two, you know that I either got lazy or I forgot or I was too busy. But once a month for many years, I read a pastor's heart. You know what it usually is? Biblical counseling. It's usually biblical counseling. One form or another, it's usually some kind of biblical counsel. I view it as a way to do biblical counseling. Just write out things that either I have faced or I know that you're facing or that I know that others are facing. And it's not always, but it's often. If you look at it, you're like, he's counseling. He's giving counsel. It's a warning ministry. Sometimes it's a matter of warning people to not do certain things or to not go certain ways, to avoid folly and sin. What kind of ministry is it? Well, we've got 7 so far, right? You got 7? Okay. See if I can go through them. I got to get these myself. It is, number 1, an influence ministry. Number 2, an important ministry. Number 3, a sacrificial ministry. Number 4, an emotional ministry. Number 5 from today, a loving one another ministry or a one another ministry. Number 6, a written ministry. Number 7, a warning ministry. And number 8, we'll finish with this one. Turn to Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It is a parenting ministry. Parenting ministry. This same word from which we get biblical counseling is used in the context of parenting. In Ephesians, again, gospel doctrines, chapters 1 to 3, gospel duties, chapters 4 to 6. We're in the context of gospel duties, duties for believers. And we come to chapter 6, verse 4. Familiar verse. And you, fathers, here's biblical counsel, do not provoke your children to wrath. That's good counsel. Don't do things that are just going to provoke your kids to anger. Neglect provokes kids to anger. Being overbearing provokes them to anger. The leave alone zap technique. Who knows what? Leave alone zap. Who's ever heard of that? Leave alone zap. My wife has heard of that, probably from me. Gee, in business school, if you read the book Iacocca, from Lee Iacocca, going back a ways, the leave-alone zap technique was managers who'd walk around, they'd leave all their workers alone, but they'd get frustrated, more frustrated, more frustrated, and then he'd zap them because they got so frustrated. And a lot of parents parent that way. They leave the kid alone, they leave him to himself, and finally, Johnny, stop it! What are you doing? That is terrible parenting. Don't parent that way, you're just going to provoke him to wrath. It's the leave-alone zap. Oh, you want to nip it in the bud. As we say, how many of you know what I'm talking about there? Nip it in the bud early on. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and instruction, counseling, admonition, nuthesia of the Lord. What are we talking about here? You are I'm certain that you parents are counseling your kids all the time. But you don't want to provoke them to wrath when you're doing that, right? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop that. Stop it. Okay, when you do that, by the way, you're teaching them to disobey you. Don't go over there. Don't go over there. Don't go over there. Ah, he never listens. You just taught your child to disobey you. Fathers, don't do that. Right? Don't do that. Don't teach your kids to dishonor you, to disobey you. Son, don't go over there. And if he disobeys, you instantly correct. Right? You turn around. Hey, no, I said don't go over there. But he starts going around. Son, second warning, right? And you go over, you turn him around, and then don't spare the rod. That's biblical counsel. He will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. All right, that's the rest of the verse. Fathers, listen. Listen closely. Don't raise your hand, but I just want to ask you a question, a serious question. Are you good at parenting? And if the answer is yes or no, you should be able to say, yep, praise God. By the grace of God, I'm really good at being a dad. Or the answer is, you know, nope, I'm not good at that. If the answer is you're not good at that, you better get good. This is a command. This is a command, right? You cannot afford to be not good at fathering your children and training them to honor you and your wife. You can't not be good at this. This is biblical counseling going on here, right? I'm warning you. I'm telling you. I'm instructing you. I'm laying it out before you. I'm seeking to influence you. You've got to learn how to father your kids. And there is a wealth of resources in this room right here. And there is a wealth of resources in this book right here to which people in this room would take you. Read Proverbs. You have got to become good at fathering your child before it's too late. All right, so what is biblical counseling? Well, it's an influence ministry. You are seeking to influence other people to walk in the ways of Christ. It is an important ministry. It's something you might have to do at night, in the evenings, on the weekends. It is a sacrificial ministry. It is going to take time, effort, and energy. It is an emotional ministry. You're going to cry. You're going to get upset. You're going to get angry. Your heart is going to weep because people aren't going to listen to what you say, and then you're going to go, oh. How many of you have had your name used three times in a row, like, I'm going to pick on Michael. Michael, Michael, Michael. You ever heard that? Who has heard anything like that? Justice, justice, justice. I don't know. Maybe your folks didn't use that one. Dominic, Dominic. Listen, there's a lot in there. It's sort of like saying, Frank, Frank, Frank. It's like saying, I love you. I care about you. I know you know better than this. Don't do this, right? It's an emotional ministry. There's emotion in there. I love you. I care about you. We want the best for you. We want your progress and joy in the faith. We want your rejoicing in Christ to increase on account of us. That's Philippians 1 if you didn't recognize it. It's an emotional ministry, but it's also a one another. This is for you. Pastor Rick said, and rightly so, there's not one or two or three people in this church who should be doing biblical counseling. There's 100 plus who should be involved at some level in biblical counseling. It's a one another ministry. It can be a written ministry. It's at times a warning ministry, and it's a parenting ministry. We're not done. We're not done. We'll continue next week. Next week we'll conclude and learn what else kind of ministry this is. Let me finish with this. This morning I was just listening to 1 John. Some of us have been listening to 1 John all month, each day. And as I listened, I was thinking, how does this all connect to the gospel? Listen to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. They are of the world, speaking of false teachers and antichrist. They're of this world, and that's why they speak as of the world, and the world listens to them. But we're of God. He who knows God hears us. That's an apostle saying, look, those who are of God will listen to apostolic doctrine. They're going to listen to what we have to teach them from the Bible. He who is not of God does not hear us. That means they don't listen to us. They don't listen to what we have to say. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. You know what biblical counseling is? It's loving one another. It's seeing that a brother or sister in Christ needs some guidance, direction, input, and you're there and you're willing to give it. Even if it's difficult to give. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him, that we might live out our day-to-day Christian life through Jesus Christ. In this is love, verse 10, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, here it is, verse 11. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's all biblical counseling is. It's just saying, look, I love you. I care about you. Don't do that. Or do this. I think this is going to be best for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to minister your word to one another. Father, I pray if there's anyone in this place who doesn't know Christ, may they receive your counsel to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And for those, my brothers and sisters, who are here today who know Christ and who love you, I pray, help us, Father, equip us to love one another by giving good, godly, biblical counsel, by speaking the truth in love whenever the need arises. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.